time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. I am here with a cat dad, Paul
they
Gallant.
They know I'm a cat dad.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. Yeah, we know by now you're a cat dad. We also know that this is not a popular opinion. This is not a common opinion. And as well as that.
It's a very common show open, but yes.
Right. Vanessa and Gallant, you're hearing us every day from 10 to noon. And one thing that we've talked about ad nauseum that we hope to have answers on soon is everything involving Deshaun Watson and a possible punishment slash suspension settlement. Guys, this is truly a situation that is unprecedented and that we don't know what we're going to get.
In these uncertain times,
Unprecedented times, buy a Toyota. We have been told a myriad of different things from we should know in a week to now it's sometime before training camp, which is 2 weeks. We've been told Sue Robinson has the last word. Now it's maybe Roger Goodell if there are appeals. But what we do know for a fact is that the briefs from both sides were due yesterday.
The briefs. Okay.
Not the boxer briefs.
Not the actual briefs.
But just the briefs.
Some people still wear the regular briefs.
Really?
Not me, but some people still do it.
No guy I've been with.
Certain people in my own family were making passive-aggressive comments about how other people still wear them and how she needed to buy them for this person. Mm. Anyway.
The hearing ended 11 days ago, as Mike Florio points out in Pro Football Talk, but the paperwork is due today on whether he should or should not be suspended.
I have a question, Vanessa, and it really just has to do with the way that this has been covered. Because right now, as all of this uncertainty hangs in the air, there has been a lot of oxygen that is being allowed to be swallowed up by people that really do seem to think that Watson's getting royally screwed over here. That there is, I guess, a chance that Watson's not going to see much of a suspension and that, by golly, that's a good thing. And I'm curious as to how the next couple of weeks are going to play out, because I do think the longer that you wait, the more that these people that feel like maybe Deshaun Watson didn't do anything are going to think to themselves, yeah, he was fine all along. And I say that because, Vanessa, maybe I'm just looking at a select group of people, or maybe I've just been focused on them in a Captain Ahab kind of way, but I keep on seeing enough people that are trying to put the pliers in or the crowbar and open this up so that perhaps the testimony of, 26 people that are filing civil suits against Deshaun Watson actually might be testimony that's a load of crap, at least per these people.
My favorite part of all of this, and I say favorite very sarcastically, has just been, regardless of how you feel about this, the narrative that people have said only four. Well, the NFL's only, because I keep hearing only, the NFL's only looking at five of the women's cases. Okay, that's true. Five is still a large number. Now, that doesn't mean they're all telling the truth. Absolutely not. We're not going there. I'm just saying that people saying that only five, only six. And one of the reporters that you and I have talked about a lot, and we are equally as hard on male reporters, this is not a gender thing, is Josina Anderson, who I believe now is with CBS on a part-time basis. And every tweet that she has seems like it's breathed by David Mulugeta or somebody in Watson's camp. Her latest one, she gave us a little homework assignment. Sean and Paul, would you like to hear what the homework assignment is?
This is one of the worst things that I've ever read. So yes, I want to hear it to make myself feel a lot better.
As I read over the personal conduct policy, one word continues to stick out while thinking ahead to Sue Robinson's decision during the fact-gathering process and where along the spectrum she'll post her flagpole. Let me know if you come up with it, and we'll revisit soon. So she doesn't tell us the word that stands out while reading the personal conduct policy. She just gives us a little, what we call in TV, a tease. Gives us a little tease. We'll revisit soon.
We have them in radio, too. There's a reason that some people are very successful in this industry. It's teases.
You think it's all teases?
I would point to Mike Greenberg, and I'll ask you, in Mike Greenberg's arsenal makes you feel like he would be good at talk radio, other than the fact that he's unbelievable at giving teases? And I'll give him credit for that. He's great. So program directors across the country, they love this. Oh, wow, he does a great tease. The content in the 10 minutes in between is just vanilla milk toast, but the tease, oh, my God.
The term is payoff.
Oh, that tease is getting me so hot and bothered. I got to sit through the commercial break and listen to the Subway ad and then the Progressive ad afterwards. Oh, but when I read that from Josina Anderson, it's been unbelievable. The amount of content that Josina Anderson is putting out about the Deshaun Watson situation without saying anything. She doesn't even say anything here. If you want to enlighten us, enlighten us. Please. I'm sorry. I don't want to read through the personal conduct policy to find one word. If you're going to continue to talk about this, give me the word.
Well, and the word could be anything from may instead of will. It could be Stephanie Stradley on Twitter, somebody local who's kind of involved
She's a gal.
Really, really nice, really good person. She put on Twitter, and I just lost it. Talk among yourselves. She put in
irresponsible, I believe it was, right?
Irresponsible. Yeah, she said she thinks that it could be the word could be irresponsible that Josina's talking about. I don't know. Regardless, we've seen this with a lot of reporters, but we've seen it specifically with Josina Anderson. That she believes that there's one word that could change all of this. There was a tweet that kind of summed it up, and it's by a guy named John H. Crumpler. He does talk about Houston and writes about Houston for USA Today. When was the last time we saw something like Josina Anderson and what she's doing for the Deshaun Watson camp? Schefter has definitely had his moments, but the consistent coverage and volume of PR from Watson's perspective feels somewhat unprecedented. I like Aaron Wilson a lot. I'm friends with Aaron Wilson, but we remember what happened with him in the Chronicle with all the Deshaun Watson stuff. So this is – Josina's not the only one.
Aaron plays in a different world than us. I like Aaron a lot, too. And look, Aaron put his foot in his mouth in that radio interview. But Aaron plays in a world where he is having close relationships with agents. That's how he breaks the stories that he does. That is how NFL news is broken these days. The people who break news generally have great relationships with agents. The agents will give them stuff. They will give the agents stuff back. That's how it works. That's why Adam Schefter is as successful as he is. That's why Ian Rapoport is as well. So that's part of the game that they play. And the guys who play the game the best end up going very high up the food chain. I don't think Josina Anderson is particularly good at the game. And I feel like one of the reasons that she's on the outside looking in and working part-time for CBS Sports instead of being an NFL reporter the way that she used to be at ESPN has to do with the fact that she probably wasn't as plugged in as some of these other people are. I got to say, it's hard to get plugged in. Right. I will give her credit for that. But it does feel like she is legitimately plugged into David Mulugeta. And David Mulugeta is downloading what he wants her to say into her mind, and then she tweets it out. This stuff right here, this playing dumb, this putting out breadcrumbs, this essentially just keeping the idea that perhaps Deshaun Watson could get off alive serves nobody who is following Josina Anderson for NFL News. It only serves Dave Mulugeta. It only serves Deshaun Watson.
I do think it's going to be interesting. Do you remember when she kept tweeting about Baker Mayfield?
Yep.
She kept saying that she knew something was going to happen, but she couldn't say what, etc.
And then she found out it happened, but she was on the beach and she couldn't tweet about it then either.
Baker Mayfield did just give a quote to Darren Gant on a press conference on the opening games against the Browns. Said, quote, "I'm not going to sit here and be a robot and tell you that it's not one I've already marked on the calendar already." So Baker Mayfield is hoping to win that quarterback battle and play the Browns. Will the man on the opposite end of the field be Deshaun Watson? I don't think so, but that remains to be seen. I did hear Tom Pelissero on Good Morning Football this morning, and even he really didn't have new information. He was just breaking it down of the timeline of what could happen, but he did say that he thinks that there will be a decision before training camp.
I really hope there is, Vanessa, because I just find myself occupying this completely empty time in July looking up random people's Twitters, like Garrett Bush, who's this guy who is, I guess, a Browns podcaster and covers the team, who has also been continuing to fan the flames with a bunch of whataboutism. He posted a couple of videos of the Rich Eisen show where there's one interview that they do where they're laughing about, I guess, the Bob Kraft situation at the massage parlor. And then they're playing the reaction to the Deshaun Watson situation, too. And it's this whataboutism stuff that consistently gets brought up by people who are generally fans of somebody who is in the spotlight for having done something bad. Well, what about this guy? What about that guy? Nice deflection, nice distraction. And there's a part of me, Vanessa, that is wondering, do I need to get an axe out and just combat all of these people online? Or should I not care? I really wish I didn't, but I see these people out there and I'm like, is this just one person? Is this a straw army for me to vanquish? Or is this actually reflective of many people that feel this way? Because if there are many people that feel this way, maybe I should be on a crusade to enlighten them. There's another part of me, too, which is like, well, they're just never going to believe what I have to say anyway. Or what anyone has to say about this situation. But, I mean, everything is adding up to Deshaun Watson being guilty AF, if you will, as the kids say.
But will he be suspended for a year? Will the NFLPA get their way, or will the NFL get their way? We should know, hopefully within the next two weeks. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Texans are evolving as an organization, and they just made an announcement that I think you all will find very exciting.
Plus,
did Rob Manfred actually do something correctly? That's next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
An announcement coming from the Houston Texans. This is a little change-up in their uniform. The Texans announced their new Battle Red helmets, which they'll wear for one training camp practice that's scheduled for July 30th.
Whoa,
as well as their November 3rd game. We're thrilled to debut our new Battle Red helmets as we continue to evolve as an organization, Texans president Greg Grissom said. We've consistently shown we're not afraid to try new things.
Stop.
So we jumped at the
chance. Repeat that line, please.
We've consistently shown we're not afraid to try new things.
You've had the same uniforms for like 20 years.
So we jumped at the chance to design an alternate helmet that will complement our uniforms, especially the Battle Red jersey. I actually like the helmets. I'm not going to make fun of the helmets because I actually like the helmets.
I don't dislike them, but pause for a second. We've consistently shown that we're not afraid to try new things. You have not shown
the opposite.
You have not changed the uniforms at all since they've come in. It's the same jerseys. Oh, we got a thicker red collar now. Ooh, we got a logo on the back of our jersey, too. You have no stripes. You have done nothing to the helmet. It's been the same helmet for 20 years. All I'm saying is a team that has had the recent history of the Texans could probably be afford to actually consistently show you're not afraid to try new things. And by try new things, I don't mean hire a preacher
to be your
vice president.
DeAndre Hopkins for a ham sandwich. They do try new things. Somebody on the Twitch line said, how about you evolve from sucking to winning? They're getting there. With all seriousness, I actually like the helmets. And you, the fans, can buy these Battle Red helmets. One of my friends that covers the Bengals, by the way, for the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Fanatics.com.
One of my friends that covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer quote tweeted it and said, all right, Bengals, it's time. So if anything, it actually may make fans of other teams jealous that only have one helmet.
That's
the Bengals have the coolest helmets.
Teams. They're going to have cooler helmets.
Right.
Yeah. Still. Sean, what do you think about the new helmet?
I think
lifelong Texans fan, Sean Mapes.
The most Texans thing possible. Look, we changed our helmet by, you know, Battle Red Day, and we wear blue helmets. What if on Battle Red Day, we also wore red helmets? And
all red.
Nothing changes. Nothing changes.
We're putting it all on red. Yeah.
To be fair, why they don't rebrand, I mean, there's just too much history tied up in the franchise to move away from these uniforms.
I've said this a bunch of times before. I don't hate the helmets. I don't. It's fun to make fun of
the Texans.
They're
fine, but them going, we're not afraid to make changes. Here's a red helmet.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever read.
And I like Greg a lot, and Greg had...
We consistently show you're not afraid to try new things.
Greg had big shoes to fill with Jamie Roots, because Jamie Roots did, to his credit, like... get a lot of sponsorship. He's constantly sold out the stadium.
Jamie Roots wrote a book.
I like Jamie a lot. Jamie,
I'm just Houston saying, he Dynamo, wrote a book.
Houston Dynamo president for 17 days or whatever it was.
He friended me on Facebook, and I thought, hey, maybe I'm going to get that exclusive interview with Jamie Roots now that he's leaving the Texans. And then the book was announced. I was like, oh, he just wants to talk about
the leadership book. But Greg, this is an interesting quote. We're not afraid to try new things. Regardless, good for the Texans for doing something that's a little bit fun. I don't know.
Also, he also says it complements their battle red uniforms. It doesn't compliment. It's just more red.
It's more red.
That's not.
It actually does the opposite of compliment.
Yes, it's stacking on top of.
Hey, when a bull sees red, Sean, that's when all bleep hits the fan. But that's when all hell breaks loose.
So the other teams are gonna bleep us up because we're the ones wearing red.
No.
Are we the matadors?
I just don't get tired of the Texans making these quote unquote big announcements that end up being nothing burgers. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but do you remember last year when they were like, there will be no fans at training camp, just season ticket holders? Like, you can't do things like that and then expect people to stay on board. But regardless, new helmets.
One last thought on the uniforms. I've said this a million times. There is only one correct solution for what the Texans should do with their uniforms. It is a little bit of a callback to the days of the Oilers. You get the white helmets, you got the blue stripe in the middle, you got the white space, you got the red stripes on the side. You put the Texans logo still on the side of the helmet. You got that going. You get the Oilers pants. I'm just saying, make your jerseys look like the Houston Oilers. It'll still be deep steel blue and battle red. But that will look so much better than what they have now. There's no team in the division right now that currently has a white helmet. You have the same colored helmet as the Tennessee Titans, who are the team that, of course, left you. So take the white, which the Titans gave up. Anyway,
but Sean has brought up a good point, though, that the Titans uniforms don't even look good.
No, they look awful. They're the worst in the league now.
Titans stink. The Texans also. The worst thing about the Texans uniforms is that they never tried. Like, it's obviously just
red, white, and blue.
It's a Madden creative uniform, and it's just, like, the most, like, stock answer.
Even the name, guys. The Texans.
All of it's lame. Even when I was a kid, I was like, this is not cool.
The nickname has actually grown on me now that I'm a native Texan. It's actually
grown on me a little bit.
Yeah, it has. Yes, it has.
Never.
You have the same colors as the flag of Texas. I've just hated that the logo's a bull. I mean, because
the logo is the one thing that doesn't bother me. It's the name, the Texans, and the fact that they were unoriginal with the colors.
No, I think the logo should be, you know how like the Patriots back in the day had Pat Patriot. Well, why can't you have like Davy Crockett at the Alamo or something like that, or Sam Houston or riding on a horseback? Like I feel like you could have a cooler logo that involves, I don't know, the people that helped found the great Republic of Texas, as opposed to cows.
Cows. Meanwhile, Rob Manfred might have actually, for one time, done something that fans are going to love. Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera will participate in the 2022 All-Star Game. I'm delighted that Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera have agreed to participate, Manfred said. They're two of the most accomplished players of their generation. They've also represented the traditions of the Dominican Republic and Venezuela with excellence for the last two decades.
This is a cool move in that who knows if you'll ever see Albert Pujols or Miguel Cabrera in an All-Star game again, given that their play has started to drop off. And I understand, too, that there's a part of the All-Star game which is supposed to be for the fans. Cal Ripken Jr. making it his last year, too. That was a big deal. I do, though, think that if you're somebody that roots for another team and you feel like one of your guys was snubbed for the All-Star game, like this gives you another reason to be pissed at Rob Manfred. So I think big picture for all of baseball, cool. But for, I don't know, Seattle, who's pissed off that Ty France, who's hitting like 310, didn't get into the All-Star game and Anthony Rizzo got in instead for the New York Yankees because he's a New York Yankee. If I'm somebody that feels my guy has been snubbed, I'm kind of pissed off that you're adding a couple of, in my eyes, geezers to the All-Star game, even if those geezers have added a lot to the game.
He, I think, made this decision for the fans. I think it's one of the few things he did that people look at and say, okay, like you said, I understand where it's coming from. There are some Cincinnati Reds fans that were mad about selections, there, whatever. I think the Astros fans might be one of the only teams that says, other than possibly Ryan Stanek, that everybody on the Astros that deserves to be an All-Star is an all-star. All right, it's time for our newly created Yankees Watch segment.
Mm. Yankees! Yeah, so the Yankees played the Red Sox over the weekend, and I thought going into this weekend we'd actually get a pretty good tell on whether or not the Astros can catch the Yankees by the end of the year. I think the Astros will, because the Astros play less games against tough teams. The Yankees have a bunch left against the Red Sox in particular. The first couple of games of the series, it did not look so good, because New York got off to a big lead on Thursday against Boston, and they ultimately hung on to win 6-5. And then on Friday, they won 12-5. And I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe the Yankees are as good as advertised. But then on Saturday and on Sunday, the Red Sox took them down. So they split the series, and now the Astros are just 4.5 games back of the Yankees for the top spot in the American League. And I think the thing that's most interesting while watching this Yankees team play, Vanessa, is that New York's gotten out to quick leads. They obviously have a very good lineup against a Boston team that is dealing with some injuries in their starting rotation right now. But when the Red Sox got to their bullpen, the Red Sox beat up on their bullpen. And I think probably the most interesting thing, as someone who has not watched a ton of Yankees baseball this year, was noticing on Sunday that Aroldis Chapman, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
The Yankees, great relief pitcher.
He's memed into history and gift into history for the Astros.
Yeah, with his little smile. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not smiling anymore. They brought him into the game in the sixth inning, and his ERA is almost 5. And he was grumpy the entire time. And it's funny. The Yankees bullpen a couple of years ago was very good. This bullpen that I saw out there, oof, I would not be feeling very good about myself if I am New York right now, because I think Houston has the edge with the starting pitching with the way that things have gone thus far this year.
I just don't care about the best record in baseball.
I do.
I just don't think it matters right now.
You know what? It doesn't, but it does.
You
know why?
It actually doesn't. And I mean, because come playoffs, nobody cares about who has the best record in baseball.
The Yankees, I hate the Yankees.
That's because you hate the Yankees.
Yes, and everyone should hate the Yankees the same way that I do, Vanessa. You want to take everything you can from them. They're acting like they're historic this year. They're not. They are not special. They think that's special.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I just think that for me, I agree with you. I'm not worried if the Astros catch the Yankees, because I think they will. And they sure enough have an easy schedule coming up. That is for sure. All right, coming up, it's our NFL segment. But first, PG is going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, baby. Look, if you're looking to make some money, there's a lot of ways you can go about doing it. But, I mean, we've all seen how real estate prices just keep on going up, up, up. Don't you want to get some money from real estate? Well, you can do that with the Passive Investor Network. The PIN process, you sit down with somebody from the Passive Investor Network, and they're going to work with you to put together a 5-year plan that you're comfortable with, where you can be investing in real estate and making some real money down the road. You might be a little nervous about it, and I don't blame you. I mean, shoot, you got to put money down for something that you're not 100% sure what the return is going to be. But the Passive Investor Network, these guys do their homework. They do a fantastic job of scouting out the greater Houston area for places that they feel like are on the rise. They invest in these properties, and you can see what they transform these properties from and to. Man, some of these things are beautiful. And look, you go on a bus tour with them. PassiveInvestor.net. You enter promo code ESPN, and you could go on that bus tour for free. And Ronnie and everybody else at the team is going to show you how they see property, invest in it, and flip it. The Passive Investor Network, the best way to invest through real estate. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Promo code ESPN. PassiveInvestor.net.
ESPN. 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
We have breaking news, and I say that semi-sarcastically. Mike Florio, yes, Mike Florio is guessing.
He's guessing.
He just released an article on Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports saying that his guess is that Jimmy Garoppolo will end up with your Houston Texans. For starters, Garoppolo clearly is available. Second, the Texans have shown that they know how to slow play a situation in order to get the best outcome. They did it with Deshaun Watson, and it worked. Third, says Mike Florio, the GM of the Texans, drafted Garoppolo. Sure, Nick Caserio was setting the table for Bill Belichick at the time, but regardless, there's a relationship there. There's ownership there. There's familiarity there. Out of all of those things, I actually think the third point is probably the best, and that Nick Caserio did draft Jimmy Garoppolo. The first two points, that Garoppolo is available and that the Texans know how to slow play a situation, I'm like, The third point, and you guys give your opinions too, right, is the only one where I'm like, eh, I can, you know, that's a good point. That's a good relationship. We know that this Texans franchise cares about relationships. PG, your thoughts.
Is my dream finally coming true?
You've had this dream for a while.
The prince who was promised. So, for those who don't know, back when I was at the Texans flagship, I was beating the loudest drum possible for the Texans to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo in a pre-Deshaun Watson world. I wanted him badly. And it was based mainly off of the fact that when Tom Brady was suspended by dictator Roger Goodell, that Garoppolo came in, first game against the Cardinals, played very well. And then in the first half, before getting absolutely clobbered by Kiko Alonso of the Dolphins, he played maybe one of the best like two-quarter stretches I've seen from a quarterback that I had not a lot of tape on. And I remember that quarter, I fell in love, and I thought to myself, the Texans got to trade for this guy. So there was a long time where I was saying, listen, this guy's different than all the other guys who have gone to New England that go to other places after backing up Tom Brady and don't do a damn thing, like Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. But obviously things, we've seen enough tape since then to know that he's not special. This is a dumb guess by Mike Florio. Who I like? Dumb guess. There is no reason that the Texans would trade for Garoppolo. If they are... It makes way more sense to believe in Davis Mills, Vanessa, than it does to believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. There is unknown with Davis Mills. There is no unknown with Garoppolo. You know who he is. And unless you think that you're about to win this year, you don't trade for someone like Garoppolo. And the Texans aren't about to win this year. They know it. We know it. Everyone knows it.
This is called Mike Florio has a contract with NBC Sports where he has to release one article a day that gets engagement. And so this is what he chose. That's my personal opinion.
The Houston engagement one.
The Houston engagement,
and
yeah.
Everyone's like, go die in a fire, Florio. We don't want Garoppolo.
8437 on the text line brings up a good point. What about this offensive line makes anyone believe the Texans would be able to protect Jimmy G? Somebody that already gets hurt a lot. I don't know. Sean Mapes, your opinion on the guess from Mike Florio that Jimmy Garoppolo could be a Texan.
This is just classic media stuff of just... So he has 3 points. The first point is Jimmy Garoppolo is clearly available. That doesn't mean he's going
right
to the Texans.
That's why I said the first 2 points is like, what?
That's not evidence whatsoever. And then he kind of gives the game away in the third to last paragraph where he goes, the real question is whether the Texans really want to win. Before he says Jimmy Garoppolo isn't like a Super Bowl winning quarterback without an awesome defense, but he will turn a 4-win team into a 9-win team. What? Who cares?
Why do we want to win 9 games?
Why do we want to win 9 games?
Because you got to build a culture.
But wouldn't you want to build a culture with Davis Mills?
I want to totally Cincinnati Bengals it.
If Davis Mills is good enough to win 4, 5, 6 games, then like you're just going to draft another quarterback anyway.
Right.
And so why are we bothering with Jimmy Garoppolo to win 9 games
because
and then have
handsome
a worse draft pick?
This is also, the in a way, the similar game Josina plays.
Yeah,
where they know that they're not Adam, they're not Ian, they're not Pelosi, they're
but
not actually.
But Florio's a gossip website. He is who he is. It's you know, he reports on things from time to time, but Florio's website generates conversation. That's why I go there every single day.
Mike, we thank you for the content regardless.
No, I love Mike. I legitimately do like Mike. This is crazy, though. That's not happening.
There are 58 days, by the way, guys, until the NFL season. And every day we have Paul Gallant do a jersey count. So what's your number 58 jersey choice?
Put me on the spot.
Oh.
I thought
you're right. This is the first time we've ever done this.
Jack Lambert. I thought his number was 58. I wasn't 100% sure. So yesterday we had a Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker. Today we also have, guess what, a Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker. Jack Lambert played for the Steelers from 1974 to 1984. They won 4 Super Bowls there. He was defensive player of the year in 1976. He went to he was an All-Pro 8 times. And if I'm not mistaken, like, there's this picture of Jack Lambert where, like, half of his teeth are missing, and he looks like essentially someone from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. you could look it up online. It's an absolutely terrifying photo where he's wearing a helmet, the bar is down the middle, he's got a massive, like, 3-teeth gap. You can see it right here, Vanessa.
Yeah.
He
needs to get the teeth fixed, and then he'd kind of be cute.
Oh, it's the 70s. No, you don't get your teeth fixed. No, this is like hockey. This is like hockey players. No, you leave your teeth looking like that. He's got this like dirty mustache too, like a Fu Manchu style. It's just hanging off the side. So yeah, Jack Lambert, number 58.
Are you buying it? AJ Brown says reports of Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts struggling at practice by reporter Derek Gunn were fake. Now, Gunn referenced a 10-play sequence from May that where he saw Hurts throw 3 interceptions and 4 incompletions and was sacked 3 times. These are things that happen during OTAs and minicamp, etc. You're trying new things. You're trying to get a feel. All Gunn did was report on it, and A.J. Brown, our resident weatherman, if you remember some of his more interesting tweets, said the practice stuff about Jalen is fake. Y'all tweet and believe anything. Like, how can he get sacked on 7-on-7 and there aren't any rushers? I believe water is above us. Believe that, too, and make an article about that, too. This app is crazy. He also tweeted a great Eagles reference.
Right. He said,
in a 10-play series, Jalen threw 3 touchdowns to me. Donovan McNabb and T.O. fought the other 4 plays. Vince Papaw came out of retirement and had the other 3
from
receptions.
From the movie Invincible.
That was actually very funny.
That was an A-plus know-your-history tweet, so a lot of Eagles fans are probably going to be like, yay. Yeah, AJ Brown's one of us, bro. But I got to say, when you hear a player caping for something that happened at practice like this and putting the spin zone out there, essentially saying it's a lie, methinks the lady doth protest too much. Had he not acknowledged this, I would actually think to myself, okay, maybe there's nothing to this. Him actually acknowledging it makes me feel like, yeah, it happened. Here's how a guy can get sacked in practice on 7-on-7s. He holds on to the football too long and a whistle gets blown. And what is something that we know about Jalen Hurts? He holds on to the football too long when he's back to throw. I buy this report 100%. The guy who is reporting it's been covering the Eagles for a million years. I think A.J. Brown's caping for his guy, but I think everyone in Philadelphia should have some serious questions about Jalen Hurts as a long-term option at quarterback.
I genuinely want A.J. Brown to keep tweeting because every time he does, not only is it hilarious, but it gives us content and gives us something to talk about in the offseason. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, says he has a greater appreciation for winning after last year, the first time really in his life that he did not win. Quote, I think I learned a lot from last year. Obviously, you get a different perspective than when you're just winning like I had in the past. So I have a lot greater appreciation for winning.
Do you feel like having a greater appreciation for winning means that he's going to have Trevor Lawrence a better 2022?
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think he may have a better 2022 because it'll be his sophomore year and because he'll have Doug Peterson.
I think that's definitely possible. It should be, by default, a better year for the Jaguars just because you don't have Urban Meyer and what he wasn't doing in Jacksonville. But I wonder about these guys who go to these schools and never experience any challenges and just how well that they will do as a quarterback. Because I look at USC quarterbacks of the past. I look at Ohio State quarterbacks. Those guys have come into the pros, generally playing on organizations that don't have a whole lot of talent around them, and they have floundered. Trevor Lawrence has always won. It's one thing to say all of these things and that you appreciate winning more after a rock-bottom kind of season, but to have it in action and to actually get used to getting kicked in the teeth every single Sunday, I don't know. That's a hard thing to learn for a lot of guys out there.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a fake quote that ESPN ran, plus one of ESPN's most legit reporters gets a profile on him. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One of the things that you hope every network does when they're building their shows, especially the national networks, such as NFL Network, ESPN, MLB Network, etc., you hope that they fact check. You hope that all of their big-time talent and their producers and the directors, that out of everybody in that room in their pre-show meetings, production meetings, if you will, as we call them in the business, that somebody will catch something that's not legit. That was an issue over the past couple of days. Let's start with the real quote, the real soundbite. So this is Ja Morant, who appeared on Taylor Rook's podcast.
Correct.
Talking about something that a lot of us discuss, which is new age basketball players versus older basketball players. Here's Ja.
You know, yeah, this time you're not saying, I would have cooked them.
I would have cooked them, too.
You would have cooked Michael Jordan?
Man, nobody got more confidence than 12.
No, that's what you're supposed to say. I get it.
As you should. Yeah. I'm never going to go and say nobody going to beat me in one-on-one or anything.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is, what sport it is, soccer. Who the best player in soccer? Come on, we can play.
Who would y'all say best player? What, Ronaldo? Neymar? Messi?
Messi? Messi, yeah.
You coming for Messi?
I want to be the goalie. I want to be the goalie and have, matter of fact, somebody set it up.
Man. Set up you and Messi.
Yeah, for sure.
You know how hard that is, though, right?
For sure.
Okay, but you still want to try.
I'm confident.
So I love that. I've sensed him. The confidence is real, but he's also being self-deprecating.
He's having fun. Yeah.
He's saying any sport in the world, you know. And I get his mindset. A lot of really, like, the best athletes in the world will tell you, you can't talk about being defeated.
No, I mean, shoot, every single player in basketball says that they're the best in the game. We heard James Harden saying it before, too. Did Harden actually believe it? How many of these guys truly believe that they're the best? It's a mentality, and I understand it, because if you lose that mentality and you're the guy that's supposed to be bringing up the ball with 15 seconds left in the game when it's a tie game or you're down one, okay, yeah, I would like that person to have some irrational confidence.
You want them to have that dog in them.
Yeah, that dog in them, I guess. But you see quotes like this in action in video, and then you see what's done today, Vanessa.
Right.
A big trick that we've seen a lot of over the last like half decade is that a quote like that will be turned into a graphic online, and the quote with like some sort of like fancy font will just say, "I'd cook Michael Jordan."
Right.
That's it. That post blows up, even though the actual context of the quote
is totally different.
Correct.
New York Porch. Is it Porch Sports? New York Porch.
Porch
there's,
Sports.
There's that. There's
Turtles.
Also,
I don't know.
Yeah, there, but there's like Ball Sack, okay, which is relevant to this story.
Yes.
So then
there's a bunch of websites that will mess around with them.
And then they'll post them as, and again, you hope in these production meetings that people see that the ones being quoted falsely are not verified. They're not actual accounts. So ESPN made one of the mistakes that you're referencing.
Oh, my gosh. They got had.
Where Ballsack Sports, which is satire.
Ballsack Sports.
It is called Ballsack Sports.
How do you not notice just that?
I think what happened was Bleacher Report picked it up, and then ESPN picked it up from Bleacher Report in my investigation. Either way, this is what the dead serious segment on ESPN sounded like.
Oh, no.
And he said the following quote. I can't believe I'm reading this. If you put Michael Jordan in today's game, he's just another superstar. You have me, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, Trae Young, and then guys like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard. It's not just about one superstar and a bunch of average guys. Perk, what do you think about John Morant saying that Michael Jordan in today's league would be just another superstar?
You know what? John Morant is confident and crazy at the same time.
So Jalen and Perk both reacted to this quote.
Oh, Jacoby, I guess.
Jacoby, excuse me. Sorry.
Oh, wait, is that his first name? I don't know. Is he Jalen and Jacoby?
No, his last name's Jacoby.
David Jacoby, right?
David Jacoby. Thank you. It was David Jacoby and Perk. And again, the quote they were reacting to was a fake quote from Ballsack Sports.
I mean, look, if you're working on that show, you read that quote, you should look for the quote. Where did it come from? And the only thing that you see is Ballsack Sports. You should probably think to yourself, oh, Ballsack Sports, who has gotten ESPN multiple times already this year, maybe this is not the quote graphic that should be the subject of an entire segment on ESPN.
Also, I get that they like can't run, I guess they can't actually run footage from Taylor's interview with Ja Morant, but since that is an interview, a long interview that he did, you think that they'd be like, well, let's see the clip that he says it in, and that clip obviously doesn't exist because Ballsack Sports made it up.
I think that somebody saw that he was on a podcast with Taylor Rooks.
Yeah.
And then they saw the fake quote from Ballsack that had been turned into a Bleacher Report.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're thinking, okay, well, clearly he said what's in this Bleacher Report thing when he was with Taylor Rooks. But to your point, Paul, did you physically hear him say it?
Right.
And, no.
And you read that, that should be your first instinct is to try and find it and add a little context to it. And I'll admit, in the past, I've screwed up on that department several times. And I think a lot of people in this industry have. If you are looking for news or something to talk about, generally you're going to see a lot of stories that are aggregated. You'll see an isolated quote that jumped out, and then that's it. And then the person that aggregated it might have their own thoughts on that specific quote. But very often, when you add context to that little quote that turns into a graphic or a quote in a little blurb or something like that, it adds a little something more to it. So I'm doing my best right now to make sure that I give all of these things a little bit extra of it. If you see a quote like that, you should at the very least look for it. And if the only thing that you see having posted it is Ball Sack Sports, again, Ball Sack Sports.
I want an investigation on how it happened. I really do. I mean, because
it's just laziness, isn't it?
That's a great point. It's totally laziness. I mean, it's total laziness.
It'd be funny if it was like a big conspiracy where they're like, we don't like John Morant. John Morant, Rich is getting a little bit too big. Talking trash about the Golden State Warriors, about how he is in their brain, how he's got real estate rent-free in their head after they got their asses kicked in that series. We got to take John Morant down a peg or two because we're in the pocket of big Steph Curry.
Or it's a disgruntled employee, a producer, was like, ooh, you know what? Dave Jacoby, I don't know.
ESPN
nice
does
to
have
me
plenty
one day.
Of.
Ooh. I'm going to make him look like a clown.
Yeah. I
ESPN
like that.
Has plenty of disgruntled employees. One of the employees that's not disgruntled because he probably makes like $8 million a year and is their number one guy is Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is fascinating to me for a lot of different reasons. He's that plugged
information
in.
Broker.
He gets information, but he's not like Ian Rappaport or Tom Pelissero, who work for the league and in some cases get press release, not to knock what they do, but they get things sent to them from NFL because they're NFL Network. He has to fight a little harder for it, yet he always seems to come up on top. Well, Ben Strauss of the Washington Post did an in-depth write-up on Adam Schefter and some of the mistakes he made this past year, but I read this and I thought, I want to read this on air because Paul hates this kind of stuff, and I know he will react strongly to this. The article begins, or doesn't begin, but in a couple of paragraphs gets to this. Adam Schefter is shorter than he appears on TV, but his brawny frame filled out his tailored blue suit.
He's a short king then, huh?
He works out daily, he says, a Peloton and push-up regimen that helps give him the stamina to be up before dawn and stay up on top of news all day, all season, all year.
I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed that he's a Peloton guy.
Really?
Yeah, I think Peloton's a scam. I feel like if you're going to ride a bike, do you really need to have one of these, like, coked out, like, hot people yelling at you to be like, you got to feel the energy in your ass. Yeah. Get into it.
My favorite thing is people will be like, oh, my God, it was the 80s day on the Peloton. Like, I was really feeling it.
I went to a ride class in town with a girl because I wanted to, let's be honest, hang out with this girl.
With her Peloton.
And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, okay, it's not like I got my ass kicked in a workout that I've never done before or something like that. It is interesting that they are commenting so much on Schefter's physique in this article. He does, I will say this, he does look well put together.
He does look well put
together. He does have that like little stocky kind of like, yeah, I could be an extra in a movie taking place in Southie in Boston, put a scally cap on me, and I look like someone that would be sitting at the bar, possibly getting in drunk fights with people.
But, writes Ben Strauss, he's also repeatedly demonstrated his pitfalls. In October, email surfaced that showed he sent the full text of a story, called him Mr. Editor. A month later, reported Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook was accusing a woman of domestic violence without relaying the full context. All this, of course, it mentions the Deshaun Watson tweet. Each incident prompted a public response from Schefter and raised eyebrows at ESPN. Quote, I've learned I don't always have to be first, Schefter would say at lunch that day. I can lean on my editors more. When there's sensitive information, I need to take a pause, to take a beat. I've learned that over the last year.
He has looked bad in those situations. It's an interesting game, one that I never want to be a part of because these guys are generally working so much with agents and agents are going to put their own spin on things and you have to have a very critical lens looking at it. And look, I don't doubt that Schefter has an extremely good filter when it comes to being able to determine what is and what isn't. But of course, we all make mistakes. And when you make a big mistake, when it's something that involves domestic violence these days, you are going to have people focus on you a lot more than they would on another mistake. Right, right, exactly. That's what I mean. Like both of those situations right there, you screw up and people are going to look at you and they're going to look very hard at you in those spots. But the way that these guys operate, I mean, it's because they have access to these agents who they have good relationships with, and they have to maintain it and sometimes say exactly what the agent's telling them to say. I like Jake Glazer a lot. I feel like Jake Glazer is someone who actually knows these players, so he's getting it from the players as opposed to the agents, so the spin's a little bit different, I guess. Obviously, it's always going to be slanted a little bit in favor of said players who are leaking things out and stuff, but it is interesting to see how the sausage is made when it comes to NFL news breaking. The sad thing is, though, it's not like unbelievable investigative journalism that these guys are doing. They have great relationships with people who just give them everything.
Who literally text them. Yeah, I would like to see this kind of article on Mike Florio. I wonder what it would start with. Like, Mike Florio starts his day with an Egg McMuffin. Something, you know what I mean? It would be, like, really in-depth. Because Adam Schefter still comes across as professional in this piece. But,
I want to know all their workout regimens. Peloton and push-ups. What is he eating? Is he high protein?
The favorite fun fact I know about any random ESPN personality is that Mel Kiper has a slice of pumpkin pie for breakfast every single morning.
Doesn't he do it with whipped cream?
Yeah.
Like an aggressive amount of whipped cream.
I mean, look, I'm not going to ask like Mel Kiper is the model of fitness or anything like that, but Mel Kiper.
Well, we need the Washington Post to investigate that for us.
I want to know more about that. I think pumpkin pie in the morning, it's a good idea. It's cool. You know, I like that custard that they got on top of it.
It does taste good. And I do want the workout regimens, to your point. Maybe that'll be my next investigation.
The Peloton. Pay $700 a month.
Peloton and brunch. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about the Deshaun Watson situation. There is a little bit of an update. Plus, your Houston Astros, the guys preparing for the All-Star game. What's next? That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5.